Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-6812 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-6812. Again, that's 800-711-6812.
The biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. I'm Alex Worley. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
Hi, I'm Mark Lack, CEO of Shorten the Gap. Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. And joining me today is Keith Arum, the CEO of PCB Productions. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Has there been an opportunity or a point in your life or a story you can go back to where you prepared and seized an opportunity that came later in life? You've done over 600 games. You've got a background in music, TV, film. Yeah. There's got to be a time in your life that you could share with us where you were able to seize an opportunity or prepare for an opportunity that came later that you were able to seize.
I think a lot of people don't realize it until afterwards, but there are crossroads in your life when you have that opportunity to kind of seize that opportunity. And for me, you know, coming from a creative background, being a musician and an artist and a writer, that's really hard because I think a lot of creatives don't necessarily have a business background. And to see those opportunities and to expand your career is a really difficult thing. For me, when it started early as for music, I had an opportunity to join with a company and leave sort of the entrepreneurial side to go in-house to work for a company. And working for companies like Virgin Interactive and Electronic Arts, I learned a lot about the corporate side of things and working in-house and working with much larger teams, 200, 300 people at a time. And navigating those waters, I think, kind of prepares you for the next phase. And what I think a lot of people don't realize is this opportunity of leaving the corporate structure back into being entrepreneurs. And I think when I look at the evolution of my career, those are the big sort of opportunities that I've had is leaving that corporate structure and starting PCB Productions.
There's a big difference between corporate and entrepreneur.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think a lot of people see that big difference as a barrier. And I think it's so threatening to a lot of people that they don't want to do it. They're like, well, I have...
Trying to come from a corporate background?
Yeah, because you have the stability of a paycheck. You have insurance. You have all your health care. You have everything that's there. You have a structure. And to leave and to go into business on your own sounds very intriguing, but at the same time, sounds terrifying.
So what's your advice for them?
I think
we have a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs tuned in that might be in the corporate setting and listening. You're talking directly to the story in their mind.
But that's the thing, is that difference, that day that I left from going from corporate back into being an entrepreneur was just one step out.
Well, what did it feel like? I think because feeling is more important than just talking about what you did.
I think if you are driven by fear, then you will never succeed. I think
statistically, we're just humans in general. Our brains are conditioned to help us survive, meaning that we're 500, statistically speaking, 500% more inclined to avoid pain, or in this case, avoid and be motivated for fear.
But I think if fear has a couple different factors. If you're looking at the big picture, right, and you're saying, well, what am I going to do 10 years from now? What am I going to do next year? How am I going to deal with this? You start asking all these questions, that fear will stop you from moving forward right now.
Those are maybe limiting questions. I don't think people understand the power and the importance of asking quality questions.
Right.
Those types of questions to me, you know, what if this happens? What am I going to be in 5 years?
Right.
If you don't have the answer, or it's creating a feeling of uncertainty or fear within you, change your focus by asking better quality questions.
Well, exactly. And if you're trained for a certain skill set or many skill sets, then finding those inspirations of opportunities to be able to then grow that, people are always gravitated towards people who love what they do. So if you are definitely confident in what you love to do and you have found a career that you would love to do, it's not going to be easy financially, but you're going to be passionate about it. And the fear will go away when you're focused on the love of what you're doing. And so that's sort of how I've always placed it. I had a very interesting tragedy in my life about 6-7 years ago. I had built my recording studios. Here I've gone from working for large companies to building my own company. We built our own facility here in Los Angeles, 5 recording stages, doing all this work, working on hundreds of video games. And we had a devastating fire that wiped us out. Wow. And that fire absolutely destroyed all of our studios. It destroyed our home that was attached to our facility. But more importantly, it also destroyed my entire library of work. I lost over 1,000 music masters and 47,000
sound. What did you feel
samples.
In that moment when you found out that that happened, when you got the call or when you saw it?
I got the call. I was traveling at the time with my family, and my wife turned to me. She goes, well, what are we going to do? Because, that's 20 years of all my work. And
wow.
And I just turned to her, and I said, right there, I'm half a world away, getting this news that our studios have been destroyed. And I said, we're just going to rebuild it bigger and better. It just stuck.
Just like that.
It's just like that. And literally, I came back, and we'd been building our studios for years, and here we went back in and just started rebuilding them again. And now we've done that. We're bigger and better than ever. And so for me, if you're so attached to material things or the things that you think make your career move forward, you realize it's not that. It's all inside here.
So have you always been like that? Because I love what you're saying right now, because I'm such a huge advocate that 80% of success is psychology, 20% is the mechanics.
Yeah.
Or in this case, right, we're just talking about the psychology aspect of it. But have you always had that type of a mindset, or did you have to develop it?
Always. I think because when you're a creative person, and that's why, again, coming from music was a real
inspiration. You're like, there's an opportunity to create it again.
Yeah, because if I come up with a song, if I come up with a story, if I come up with a book or a movie, to me, it's just an idea. But how many stories can you tell? How many ideas do you have? People have ideas every day, and they don't get to see them fulfilled. To me, it's sort of a curse and a blessing. If you have an idea, for me, I need to get that out. I need to get that idea, or it'll sort of fester.
And so what do you do to get it out?
I get it done, no matter what the cost.
Journaling, just creating?
Any way I can.
In a studio.
And that's why I work in so many different mediums. If it's a song is a story, a book is a story, a movie is a story, everything is storytelling. If I'm telling you a story that happened to me, that's just my way of expressing that idea. The problem is, for a lot of creative people, they are so entrenched in an idea that they cannot move forward until they get it out. To turn that into a business is the next step. And I think that's sort of what I've been working my whole career on. And I'm still, I think, in my infancy.
That mindset is incredible. I want to dive a little deeper into that. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Joining me is Keith Arum, the CEO of PCB Productions. So you lost everything.
Everything.
20 years worth of your work.
Yeah.
And you said you felt like what?
I just felt like we're just going to build it again.
I can't believe
it.
Because not a lot of people would have that type of a mindset. You said you've always had that. But if you've always had that, then you've obviously got some clues about what makes your mindset different than others. Focus, better questions, the way that you look at the world. What are some tips for people out there that are like, if I lost all of my work for 20 years,
right,
I'd freaking lose it. I'd go crazy. So what's your advice for them?
Well, I mean, you have to
look
at it.
How do you keep such a level head? You get a phone call that you lost all your work for 20 years, and you just go, I'm going to start over.
Well, I mean, in some cases, work that you've done in the past, even in this case where I was building off of it, if I'm building a sound library or music or other things that I can leverage to sell in the future, that's the business side of it. The creative side of it is it's an idea that I got out. It's a story that I told, and I've moved past that. And if it's equipment, if it's physical structures, it can be rebuilt. So I think that if you're attached to material things, you're sort of entrenching yourself in something that is going to be it's going to be outdated. It's going to go, technology is going to be outdated. Everything is going to sort of pass, but ideas are eternal. And I think that if you're telling stories, if you have ideas, you're going to constantly have new ones. And I think, one of the questions you asked me earlier about, have you made any mistakes? I think some of the mistakes that I've made that way has been maybe not getting some of those stories out earlier. Ideas that I've had that I've sort of said, oh, it's a good idea. I'll develop that someday. And I think that's the biggest mistake anyone can make is to not take advantage of those ideas. Because you can always get a loan. You can always, find other ways to invest and build things. And building is great, but building ideas is more important.
How do you keep the creative juices flowing? I find people all the time that are like, oh, I'm having writer's block, or oh, I'm not inspired or motivated right now.
Right.
So how does somebody like yourself, who's been involved in so many creative projects, you're just juiced for life. You lost 20 years of your work. You don't even care. You're happy to just start over and create new things, right? How do you keep the creative juices flowing? I know personally for me, it always boils down to my biochemistry and the environment that I'm in. So for
Absolutely.
Me, my biochemistry, maybe I'll go and work out. Maybe I need to eat something different, eat something healthier, just get my body moving and ultimately change my environment. I love living on the beach, which is where I'm at. So that's a creative place for me. I can go for a walk. But what are some of the things that you do to keep the creative juices flowing?
Well, as a storyteller, I always need new stories and to be inspired by things, new people, new places, new locations. So I think that it was very interesting when I was working in the corporate structure. You're supposed to be creative, especially if working at a game company and working on video games. You're supposed to be creative from 9 to 5.
Yeah.
But I'm always doing my best work at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, when I don't have the distractions of my email and phone and other things. And I started to realize that the more I sort of got into my own creative space, wherever that would be, I would be more inspired. So traveling and spending time with my family and getting away from my familiar environment, as beautiful as your environment can be, if it's the same thing over and over and over again, there's no source of inspiration. So for me, traveling, going to the Himalayas, going to Japan, going to Bali, going somewhere else.
Where's the craziest place you've traveled?
I think last year I just went to Bhutan. I think the best place I've ever been to has been Antarctica. That's been the
what was cool about that?
It's like Alaska on crack. It's like the coolest place you'll ever see. It's epic. It's huge. You every direction you look is just so overwhelming, and there's not a bit of society or any technology there. You're out in the most barren place on the planet. And to me, that's very inspirational because of the stories and the ideas of survival and other things. I've been to places like India and all over Europe, and you see people living in different environments, different conditions, and to learn from their stories, spend time with other people, and hear their background, I think is very inspirational for me.
Well, you've inspired me. I love your passion. You've transferred it into me. I appreciate you for coming on our show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Keith. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Attention Dish subscribers, it's official. Newsmax TV is America's fastest growing conservative network, and it's now on Dish. More than 50 million American homes can tune into Newsmax TV for the real news on the Trump revolution, with smart analysis from Mike Reagan, Alan Dershowitz, David Horowitz, and many more. So watch Newsmax TV now on Dish 216, DirecTV 349, UVerse 1220, and Fios 615. If you don't get Newsmax TV, call your cable operator today. Tell them you want Newsmax TV.
Have pain you can't ignore? Then try first-in-class relief from SalonPass. SalonPass pain relief patches have everything you need in one clinically proven solution. They're the strongest label pain reliever available without a prescription, safely relieving pain for up to 12 hours. And SalonPass is the first and only FDA-approved OTC topical pain reliever. For first-in-class relief, get SalonPass pain relief patches in the green box with a blue wave.
This Christmas.
Have you ever wondered from whom you got your curly hair? Or what country your ancestors lived in hundreds of years ago? Historian and filmmaker Dr. Henry Louis Gates Jr. has teamed up with AT&T as they sponsor the fourth season of Finding Your Roots on PBS.
Knowing where your people come from is crucial as we search for our identity in this world. Answers to these questions help us educate our children and develop more fruitful connections with the people around us and around the globe. My hope is that my work with AT&T on Finding Your Roots helps increase cultural awareness and moves us into a society of understanding.
The holidays are the perfect time to share stories about your heritage along with your meal. And don't forget to watch Finding Your Roots, which is airing now on PBS, with celebrity guests like Anna Navarro, Carmelo Anthony, and Christopher Walken. For more information, visit att.com. That's att.com.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Joining us is Eric Hsu, the CEO of Single Grain. Eric, pleasure to have you, brother.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us about Single Grain. What's your company do?
Yeah, so Single Grain is a digital marketing agency, and we help Fortune 500 companies, to mostly venture-backed startups, to help them grow their businesses online. I'm sure there's a lot of different marketing agencies that have been around here, but the main thing we focus on is helping them with paid advertising, and for the services that we can't help with, we refer to other agencies in our network.
So there's a lot of things that come up when we talk about marketing, and one of them is differentiating yourself with your products, your services, your niche. There's a lot of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you differentiate yourself in the noisy market of marketing? We were just talking about how we're both in the marketing space.
Yeah.
So what makes you different than the other people out there providing a similar service?
Yep. So we've niched ourselves into this the space of online education and software as a service. So those are where we're actually good at. We specialize because we find that, you know, trying to say if we're a digital marketing agency that's full service, we can do everything. That just doesn't work out too well.
You're being broad versus going deep.
When you go deep, people are like, oh, well, okay, Khan Academy, for example. Oh, please help us with this. And then all of a sudden we're working with like a Stanford affiliated company, and then it just starts to kind of grow from there. My background's in online education, so that's kind of how we have an affinity for that, and subscription too.
So give me a contextual example. A company comes to you, or you go to them, and what do you see as being their first one or two or three problems? And then how do you actually help solve them?
Yeah, most of the time they don't have a strategy. So we'll get on a like a discovery call, and they'll say, oh, well, you know, we'll talk for a little bit. And then I'll say, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how comfortable are you with your marketing strategy right now? Most of the time, usually the answer is 2 or 3.
Out of a scale of 10?
Yeah.
And these are Fortune 500s.
Yeah, these are Fortune 500s or companies that have raised a Series A. They're ready to grow. They've reached product market fit. So we talk to them and we start to dig in more. Okay, why is it a 2? Why? We just continue to ask why. And then we start to figure out, okay, they actually need a marketing strategy. And this is where we've changed quite a bit. In the past, a lot of companies will come to us and say, hey, Eric, we just want a proposal. Can we just get a proposal? Yeah. We don't work that way. You know, if you guys want to work that way, you know, unfortunately, we're probably not the right fit. We need to do a strategy first. And so we've changed the model there where it's kind of a foot in the door strategy, and we get to test drive the relationship.
So they're actually doing kind of what I'll call like the analogy to the medical industry, which is they're asking to be prescribed before diagnosed.
Exactly.
And so, you know, that's the thing is that's the old saying, right? Prescription before diagnostic is malpractice. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that you said what you do is you make sure that you diagnose through surveys, interviews, strategy sessions, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
You make sure that you really understand the client's pain points, their needs, their goals. And then from there, once you really understand them and you diagnose them, then you can understand how to prescribe them with your solutions or if they're even a good fit.
Exactly.
Okay. And I think a lot of people, they're just in a space of, hey, if you've got the problem, let's just work together right now.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get that money and we can get started, great.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a reflection of your integrity for your business, which is, look, just because you can afford it and write a check doesn't mean we want to accept you. We want to make sure that you're the perfect fit and that we've diagnosed you and taken the time to understand. So that's what makes you guys different.
Yeah, that is. I mean, you know, we don't want to, we're fortunate enough where we're not in a desperation space where we should just take on everyone. I mean, in the beginning, if you're starting out, you might need to take on, you know, clients just to take them on.
Yeah.
But we're very selective about who we take on now. And then, you know, it's very defined process that, you know, we follow to get them to, you know, to work with us.
What was the hardest part about starting your business? You know, a lot of entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs at the beginning stage are with us right now. And the hardest part is getting started, I feel like. There's like some evolution stages and seasons in the growth of being an entrepreneur in a business. But it's that beginning stage that I feel either holds people back from even getting started because of the lack of clarity, direction, and other things. But what was the hardest part for you when getting started, and how did you overcome that?
Yeah, I think it's really, it's scary, especially for me growing up in an Asian family. My parents just want you to, they just want you to be stable. They want the best for you, right? So they don't want you to start a business. They want you to go, you know, pharmacy or law,
be a doctor,
be an engineer or doctor or something like that. And so the hardest thing is, you know, telling them that, hey, you know, I'm going to have a business, and, you know, they're going to push against it. And your friends around you, here's the other thing. You're going to notice that if you start to go down the entrepreneurial path, I think the saying is, you know, everyone wants you to do well. Your friends want you to do well, but nobody wants you to do better than them. And I think I'm starting to see that a little bit, even though, like, I was hoping that wasn't true. But, like, you just have to ignore the noise out there, and you have to focus on yourself. I think, you know, the biggest investment you can ever make, Warren Buffett says it, right? The biggest investment you can make is in yourself. So it's all about, you know, continuing to grow, learning. And I think it's such a hack today where you can listen to podcasts, audiobooks, and you can just listen to all this information when you're either at the gym or when you're driving to work or something like that.
Yeah, and I think it's a great point you made is that people really do, the people that have your best interest in mind, they really do want to see you successful. But there's a fine line between people that want to see you be successful and the people that don't want to see you be more successful than them.
Yeah.
CEO of Single Grain, Eric Suess, joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Did you always know that you wanted to be an entrepreneur, or was it something that you just kind of fell into? Because a lot of people say, I didn't even know. I just kind of ended up becoming one. And I always think it's so interesting. How do you just fall into entrepreneurship when it's such like a life journey? But was that the case for you?
Yeah, you know, I think what Gary Vee says, it's built into people, right? And I think growing up, so this is the nerdy side of things. I used to play a lot of computer games competitively growing up, right?
And awesome.
To me, like, I always wanted to be the best, right?
Are you the CSGO champions just playing online?
CS or, you know, whatever, poker or StarCraft, whatever it is exactly. And it's always about being the best, joining the best team, and always dominating other people, right? And that actually carries over into the people that say gaming is useless or whatever to the 1.2 billion gamers out there.
Yeah.
It actually, like, all the skills I've learned from that actually translate into entrepreneurship.
It's the same thing as a sport, in my opinion, because I grew up, right? We're probably very close to the same age, grew up in the gaming space. It's the same thing as a sport. It's just from a computer standpoint. So were you, as a kid, obviously you said something about, you know, gaming and things like that, that kind of help shape you into somebody who understands what it takes to play at the pro level. You understand competition and how it helps you thrive. But what were you like as a kid? Did you, you know, grow up in an environment where you were conditioning yourself for entrepreneurship? I know we talked about gaming and you said your parents wanted you to go in another path, but do you have anything from your past that you feel like, looking back, conditioned you for your future?
Yeah, you know what? I think growing up, I just never listened to my parents. I just never gave a crap. Like, I wasn't like a bad kid or anything, but I just thought a lot of the stuff they said was wrong, and I thought a lot of stuff just didn't make sense. And I would, when I got my computer when I was like 7 years old, eight years old, this is when the internet first came out. I didn't know how to ask my mom for it, so I just took her credit card, and then I just signed up for MSN, and then I'd wait for her to leave every day. Wait for her car to pull out, and then I move my computer desk all the way next to the phone line. Didn't have an extension cord, and I started going on the internet. So I think it's all about really being confident in what you think is right, and then just going out there and doing it. Because when I first started doing this stuff, like, I'd start learning HTML and CSS on my own, and it just transitioned over into gaming. But then the path went back to entrepreneurship.
Did you have any mentors growing up? I know that you said you kind of, you know, went against the grain of your parents, but was there something like at some point, like for myself, I stumbled across videos of Tony Robbins, and that was a pinnacle point in my life where it started to recondition my belief systems about myself and the world and my results and how I could get new things. Like, I wanted to, you know, here's where I'm at, here's where I want to be. It started to help me realize that I could get anywhere I want faster if I start to just learn how to model the patterns and follow in the footsteps of other successful people who've already achieved what I want. So did you have any books or mentors that changed your life in the beginning?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, so this is probably 7 years ago that I really started digging into this stuff. But I think Seth Godin, his book, Lynchpin, even though that was a book about how to be, like, indispensable to your team, I think he kind of got me into the whole personal development type of thing. And then you just start to go down the path of, you know, there's Tony Robbins is in there too. Even in some cases, even Tim Ferriss was really inspirational too.
So I mean, mentors for me have literally been the foundation of my success. And so I'm excited as we shift gears and talk about your business to just kind of figure out where you learned a lot of the things that helped you become successful. We'll be right back with Eric Suess. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Entrepreneurs expect a solid finish to the year and are confident in the 2018 economy, according to the Fall 2017 Bank of America Small Business Owner Report. Nearly three-quarters of small business owners are optimistic their 2017 year-end revenue will surpass that of 2016. In addition, economic confidence also surged by more than 10% from last fall, as almost half of entrepreneurs expect the national economy to improve in 2018. However, growth plans remain flat from last fall, and plans to hire are down from last year. Sharon Miller, head of Small Business Bank of America.
With unemployment at record lows, business...
Sometimes business owners and entrepreneurs don't follow a traditional schedule. Well, that's where BizTV's Biz Club can work for you on your time. For only $5.95 a month, you can have over 200 hours of our fresh, original content on demand, anywhere, anytime. And with our search feature, you can quickly and easily find the topic or show you're looking for in seconds. Sign up today and see what you've been missing. Free for 7 days. Join the Biz Club. It's BizTV. On your time.
Ow, ow. Yep, you guessed it. I'm a speed bump, so I've got one job. I slow you down. So imagine how I feel about Geico, who does way more. Like, not only could they save you money on car insurance, but they've been around for over 75 years, giving people fast and friendly claim service. Ow, ow. Plus, they got a nifty mobile app that gives you 24/7 access. Ow, ow. Just doing my job, buddy.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Black.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Black on Business Rockstars. Joining us is Eric Hsu, the CEO of Single Grain. Eric, pleasure to have you, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Give us a quick recap. What does Single Grain do?
Yeah, so we're a digital marketing agency. We work with Fortune 500 companies to venture-backed startups, helping them grow their businesses online using paid advertising.
So we were just talking about how most businesses struggle in the areas of one or both, generating leads and or converting leads.
Mm-hmm.
We go into businesses, and that's kind of where I think both of our businesses thrive, is we go into other businesses and help them with the life, blood, and oxygen of every organization, and that is their ability to generate income and sales. And as marketers, we go in and we help businesses with this. But what do you feel like are the bottlenecks that are holding people back from generating leads?
I think it's a lack of patience. You know, people want to see things happen quickly. If you look at the tech world, when you get a round of financing, you're looking to put that money into paid advertising and grow mm-hmm. as quickly as possible, right? You're looking to buy your way into customers. And I think the thing is, you know, people talk about content marketing too. That's you're playing the long game, mm-hmm. and that's anywhere from a 12 to 18 month journey before you even start to see anything. I'll give you an example. I was looking at my numbers for my one of my podcasts that I have. My God, for the first year, it was just flat. And then it starts to slowly take off at the 12 to 18 month mark. And then it just starts to, like, you know, go up and to the right. So I think that's the thing. It's a lack of patience and a lack of just, you know, willing to, you know, grind it out.
What about for these big companies, though, that have been established? Maybe they've been in the game and their company's been around for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Because you said you work with a lot of Fortune 500s, mm-hmm. the majority of which have been around for decades. So I feel like the patience part makes sense for a lot of the beginning entrepreneurs and business owners. But what about for the big ones? Because you said you work with a lot of these big ones. I feel like, you know, you can be around for a long time and be impatient the whole way. Mm-hmm. But why do you feel like these big companies who are so established hire a company like you to come in?
The big companies are slow, and there's a lot of red tape around them. There's a really big one in the top 10 right now that we work with. And it's just really hard to push anything through. New ideas, everything requires a lot of approval, requires, you know, 30 to 40 days. And when you're doing marketing stuff, you have to move quickly. I'm sure you know. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing to make changes on the fly and test very quickly. Some people call it high tempo testing. And I think that's the thing. It's the level of bureaucracy out there, and it's the level of red tape that slows things down. And when you're slow, you can't really get anything done.
So how can you make sure that you're moving fast, but doing it right? Because a lot of times we see entrepreneurs who come out of the gate and they're trying to hit that home run, right? They think that, oh, my company's gonna do $1 million in the first year because I saw this guy and 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 that guy and that girl and that girl online crushing it, making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And so why do you think, you know, how do you think, I guess is the better way to phrase it, how do you think people can make sure that they succeed early on while moving fast?
Yeah, so I think moving fast is definitely, I mean, you definitely want to have, you know, 90 day goals, you know, on where you want to be. Okay, here's where we're at today, and here's where we want to be. So there's a tool out there that just was released. I think it's like a free 45 day trial or whatever. It's called Growth Hackers Projects. And then you can literally put it, you know, here's where we want to be, and here's what's going to happen. You can have your whole team involved, and integrates with a lot of different tools out there. But I think it's important to set numbers and then go for them. Sometimes, you know, if you want to get crazy, you can have daily check-ins where you're recording the numbers every single day. Some people get that crazy. I like to do it perhaps weekly. Okay. But you just want to have, you know, whatever gets measured gets managed at the end of the day. So you want to have that. But at the same time, I think you also have to temper expectations. Just because somebody else, you know, got to a million or you know, 10 million or whatever, you know, we're seeing all the stories out there, but it took a very long time to get there. So I think there has to be that level of understanding.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, if you want to get results fast, I think the fastest way to do it is to follow the right recipe. You know, if you're trying to build $1 million business in your first year, or maybe you've been in business for 3 years and you're stuck at $250,000 or whatever the number is, and you want to get to that 7-figure mark or 8-figure mark, I think the best way to get there is to simply invest in learning the recipe. You can call it a blueprint, a formula, science, an equation, whatever you want to call it. I'll call it a recipe because it's an easy analogy. Mm. But if you and I are average chefs and we want to be world-class chefs, at least the fastest way to make a world-class meal would be to invest in the recipe and the ingredients.
Exactly.
So if you and I are terrible chefs, but we had the ingredients and the recipe to create a Michelin star meal, we're going to do it. It's mm-hmm. a recipe and we have the ingredients. You can't not do it. But I feel like most people are following the wrong recipe in their business, and that's why they're failing.
Exactly.
And it's a direct result of, you know, this is why the end result, the product is the way it is, because if we reverse engineer the result, it's because of the things you did, the recipe you followed. Mm-hmm. And I think the fastest way to get results is to just invest in learning a proven recipe that's going to yield the results that you want. What about company culture? That's something that I feel like a lot of people don't talk about, because either it's just a topic that I feel like it's not that fun. It's kind of a boring topic in some cases. And a lot of people aren't doing a good job of creating company culture, but I know you guys are. So what are some things that you're doing to create awesome environments for your team to thrive?
Yeah, culture is not like a fun thing to talk about. You'd rather talk about marketing and sales at the end of the day, right? But the thing is, if you're competing against bigger companies out there, like the Googles or the Facebooks of the world, you have to create a fun environment to work at. So for us, you know, we talked about this earlier, you know, some of this is becoming more standardized, but, for us, we only work, you know, 3 days a week out of the office. Most of our team is remote.
Which is a trend that's happening now.
Yeah.
Remote working. I mean, a lot of people are going to become independent contractors working from home.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a more common theme. There's actually $1 billion businesses that are now shifting over to having the majority of their workforce be, you know, remote.
Exactly.
And I think that that's interesting that you guys have come up with a way to do that. CEO of Single Grain, Eric Hsu, joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. So, Eric, we're talking about company culture. I want to know, how did you come up with this whole remote working thing? I know it's not something that you created or invented, mm-hmm. but how did you decide that that was the right move for your business?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I used to work for this online education company, and 60% of our team was remote. And mm-hmm. I was like, wow, this is completely new. I've never done this before. And it actually worked really well for us. As long as you have the right meeting cadence scheduled with your managers
yeah.
or with other people on the team, and then you, for us, we always did at least, you know, two on-site meetings where everyone got to meet each other. We kept the glue together, and you know, we had the right element, the right mix of kind of meeting in person and also, you know, collaborating online. So that worked well for us.
How do you hold people accountable, though? Because I feel like that's the tough part, right? Mm-hmm. As soon as people are no longer in the office, and not that being in the office means that you should be or could be micromanaging them and things like that, because nobody likes that.
Yep.
And if you have to micromanage people, it's the wrong people. But at the end of the day, the distinction I'm trying to make here is, how do you hold people accountable when they're working remote and they're not in the office and you can't see them, hear them, get that face-to-face meeting?
Great question. So we do with direct reports, there's a one-on-one every day with their managers. And then the other thing is there's a variety of tools that we use. So we use Slack, for example, but then there's a plugin called Geekbot that will do a daily stand-up check-in on, okay, what did you do yesterday? What are you working on today? So everyone can kind of see what's going on. And at the end of the week on Fridays, we use a tool called 15-5 that will send a report based, will send questions saying, okay, how did you feel about this week? What did you learn this week? What were your big accomplishments this week? What were your struggles? Just a bunch of questions there and like some random questions thrown in. And then everyone can kind of see how things are going. And from my level, from an admin level, I can see how are people feeling over time? How is it trending? And then we have a question in there. How much have you grown this week? How much did you learn, right? And that's also, we're seeing where that's trending. So for us, we're able to measure kind of what's going on. And we're also very focused on helping people grow as well. So we're investing in their education too, and we're able to track that too.
So there's obviously probably a list of things that you wish you knew when you were starting your business, creating great company culture probably being one, because a lot of people don't think about that as the most important thing in year one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had to go back in the past and you were sitting down at coffee with your younger self in your first year of business, what would one piece of advice be that you want to share with yourself?
Well, we already covered patience. So I'll give another one. I think it's the team, it's hiring, right? Whether you play competitive games or you played, you know, football, basketball, it's always about the team at the end of the day. It's not about one person. If you're going to create anything great at all, it has to be, you have to have great people on the team. And you can't say, oh, you know, I hired that bad person, that was a bad egg, you know, caused our company to go down. At the end of the day, if you're the leader, it's your fault. So you better have a really good hiring process in place, because it's the team that's going to get you to, you know, whatever you're trying to get to. I remember, Bill Gates said, you know, Microsoft wasn't built off of him. It was built off the first 20 team members. So that's what it's really all about.
So what if you can't afford to hire these people? How can they still build a team?
Yeah. So I think if you're starting out, you don't have anything yet. If we're talking, you know, you don't have the resources for a team. I think
I'm in year one. I'm trying to generate my first 5-10K a month, you know, to be able to pay the bills and keep growing the business.
Right.
And I'm using a lot of that money just to sustain my own lifestyle and keep the doors open.
Yep.
Maybe it's an online business. Maybe it's a brick and mortar. But when it comes to hiring great people to help grow the business, what if I don't have the funds is the question. And so how can we make sure that they can still build a team? Kind of alluded at some of the different ways, bartering, deferred payment, equity incentives, things like that. Payments on results only, commission. But what do you think? What are some other things?
Yeah, I think those are certainly fine. But I think if we're even going before that, I think it's all about setting up the right systems and processes, documenting everything in place. That way you can scale. It's not all about you at the end of the day. You need to figure out the processes that you can grow. It sounds really boring, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah, you can definitely, you know, work on commission and all that type of stuff. But I think if you're able to build these processes out and you're able to repeat things over and over, your revenues start to go up, then you can start to set aside, okay, you know, X amount to, you know, for this specific hire. And then you can start to repeat this thing over and over. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day. Business is not that hard. You just have something, you make something people want, mm-hmm. and you create a process that's scalable. And then you just scale it.
What do you think is one of the most important things that entrepreneurs need to know when they're starting out? Because there's probably, you know, a larger portion of people who are either wanting to become entrepreneurs or are in the beginning stage of an entrepreneur, year one, two, three. What do you think is the most important thing they need to know? We talked about patience being really good. And again, there could be 50 things, but what do you think is really important? Well, I think, you know, if I'm going to help you out here, if I think there's 50 and I just pick one, I think hunger is one of the most important ones. We had Damon John from Shark Tank on here, and he was saying hunger is probably one of the most important ingredients for an entrepreneur because of a lot of reasons, right? Passion fuels hunger, I believe. And so I think in the beginning stages, you get knocked down a lot as an entrepreneur. You have these expectations of what you think is going to happen. meaning you can make money, you're going to meet these people, you're, you know, whatever. You're going to have this massive growth in the beginning. You're all excited. And then it doesn't always work out that way. And it's hard to stay hungry. But what do you think is another important trait?
No, like you just mentioned, I was just going to say, yeah, absolutely. You get punched in the face every single day.
Yeah.
Something, you know, you don't expect is going to happen. I think, you know, you talk about hunger. I think persistence is the main thing. You just keep going at it. That's what it takes to really get to the end of the road. I think that's what the difference is between a successful and an unsuccessful entrepreneur. Yeah. They're just a little more persistent.
Eric Hsu, pleasure to have you on the show, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
How can you make extra money even with a full-time job? Hi, I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Eliminating financial stress is a dream for all of us. While time is a limited resource and you may be bound to a 9-to-5 job, you'd still like to make some extra cash, right? Well, here's how. 1, start a service business. An online presence is the best way to start. Dinner service, marketing, freelance writing are a few ways to get up and running quickly and score some side money. 2, invest in real estate, perhaps a condo or a small property. Even commercial real estate is a great way to earn passive income. Finally, leverage what you're already doing. If you know how to say teach, your skill set can prove valuable to somebody else, so much so, they'll pay you. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
This is Mike Reagan for Newsmax. In 1985, my father, President Reagan, put an ownership cap on the big TV networks like NBC, ABC, and CBS. His FCC barred them from owning local TV stations reaching more than 25% of the U.S. But now, the FCC is gutting this network cap, letting networks like NBC and CBS own stations that will reach almost 80% of America. President Trump campaigned against the concentration of media power. We need to stop the FCC's dangerous plan. If this radical FCC plan goes through, the big networks will own almost every TV station in America, and conservatives won't get a fair shake. Don't let the big New York networks control your local news. I am urging you to call your congressman and senator, then sign my petition to Congress at stopthefccplan.com. That's stop. TheFCCPlan.com.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
If you're suffering from hearing
hearing loss. Stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's check in with Pat O'Brien.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to Business Rockstars. This edition is CEO Roundtable. My old friend Bill Dallas is here, co-founder of Cloud Virga, and back to the Jim Nance days. Is Jim still a scratch golfer?
He's a pretty good golfer. I wouldn't say scratch anymore, but he's pretty good.
He is good.
He compares himself to Fred, to couples.
Anyway, Bill Dallas is here, and Greg Spiridellis from Jib Jab.
Jib Jab.
Jib Jab.
How you doing?
We love Jib Jab. Both have successful, flourishing companies. We want to talk about the idea of being a CEO. Did you always want to be a CEO?
No, but I always wanted to be in charge.
Well, that was a better answer.
Yeah. And I think I thrust myself into being in charge pretty early, and I wasn't ready to be a CEO. I think you learn sort of the CEO skills maybe a little later.
Yeah.
But I always wanted to be the guy.
Well, one of the skills is hiring people.
Yeah.
How do you find the right people, or how do you know you're finding the right people?
Yeah, I think it's like being very deliberate about, like, what are your company's values? What are the things that make you successful as an entrepreneur? For example, me and my brother, we went through an exercise actually with the whole company about what are our values? And then it's really making sure that you're looking at every potential hire through the lens of those values. Do they match up on, are they passionate about what they do? Mm-hmm. Do they have a track record of innovation? Are they someone that you're going to, you know, is going to be dependable when you need someone to step up? Are they self-directed? Mm-hmm. So I think it's like just identifying what's the secret sauce that makes you tick and lining up candidates against it.
And there's a talent to that, right? Otherwise you're screwed.
Yeah. And I think the talent is knowing what you want. And then the second talent probably is being a little bit patient in the sourcing and going through the process to look through a lot of people. Your tendency is want to just hire somebody and bring them in because you need to fill a position. And the next thing you know, we've actually started testing. I don't know if you guys test a little bit, but we do some grit testing and not anything elaborate. Just want to know.
Not profiling.
No, we just want to know if you're, you know, if you sort of fit.
Yeah. What's the hardest thing we talked about? You never knew you'd be a CEO, but what's the hardest part besides everything?
I think probably the hardest part is raising capital. You know, growing the pace of growing your business with the amount of cash. I mean, new businesses suck cash and take all your money, right? So you have to have a bunch of outlets in order to be able to do that. And, you know, people talk about starting up a business. That's really tough. But I just talk about sustaining a business because it has to get past its first or second hurdle. And they never go in a straight line.
And things change, certainly in real estate and mortgage and all that, but especially in technology.
Yeah.
Changing by the hour, really.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, it's...
How difficult does that make?
I mean, I think it's really hard. Like, our business is constantly changing, and new opportunities are opening up all the time. And so one of the hardest things for me as a CEO is moving an organization really quickly, while at the same time, like, conveying a sense of, no, there is, like, some, I'm not being erratic.
Yeah.
This is not, like, an off-the-cuff thing.
It's actually our plan.
Yeah. We're loyal. We're staying.
Yeah, and we're, you know, and we're actually, it's okay, folks. We're turning the boat in this direction, but it's actually a thoughtful response to an opportunity. And then communicating constantly. Mm-hmm. And the bigger the company, the harder that gets.
I think what Greg said, too, was important, that you know, you change is going to occur and keep happening. And so you look for people that you hire that can have core values that sort of fit, because you want that to be permanent, but you want everything else to be able to change.
Yeah. What's more important, core values or mission?
That's a good question.
You can answer everything jib-jab.
I would say, jib-jab. I think the mission is critical. Like, you need to know, why are we all, like, on this boat together? Right. You know, where are we going? What are we trying to accomplish? And I think, like, the values are how we get there, right? So if you don't know where you're going, like, no, how you're going to get
there. And the core values, part of the metaphor, is when you put the jib out.
Get
yourself
you want my job?
How about you? Same thing?
I actually think that they go in order, right? I think you've got to have a cause. And I go the other way. We've always called, I'm classically trained, BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal, which is different from your cause, which then leads into your core values. And those have to be consistent, aligned. And then eventually you get to whack-a-mole of what am I doing in 2016 and how are we going to do that? And trying to get the whole group to flock in one direction.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars, CEO Roundtable Edition. I'm Pat O'Brien. Bill Dallas is here. Greg Spirandellis from Jibjet. I love saying Jibjet. I'm your best.
I just love seeing my head on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm glad to hear it.
How do you differentiate yourself from competition?
I think strategically, I'm in a business, an industry that doesn't differentiate very well. So everybody gets the same loan, right? So if you want to get a 30-year fixed rate loan, how do you different? You can be Quicken and try to shoot a rocket off, or you can be Guaranteed Rate and try to have digital mortgage. So my view is you have to be very strategic at how you want to differentiate. Mm-hmm. And I think you differentiate with strategy and people, not cool lines and taglines.
All right. But different for you, because you're in competition with the entire internet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To be as entertaining or more.
Yeah. Or fun. Yeah. Funny is, that's how we've evolved the business. Like, early on, we did political satire, a short form comedy video before YouTube existed. When YouTube came along, I said, there's no way we can compete with the collective universe of funny. Right. I mean, we're not that funny. So you look at, like, where are there opportunities to create new experiences? And for us, we were really early on in Facebook and pioneering the platform and creating personalization. And now it's with messaging.
Yeah. Thanks both for being with us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you very much.
It's fun.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This has been CEO Roundtable Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. We'll see you next time.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Biz Talk Radio.
Thank you.